All right, we're going to talk this morning. The Lord put this on my heart to bring this message. It's one that doesn't get taught a whole lot for a number of reasons. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, we all know those folks. They have names like, tongue talkers, shouters, crazy charismatics. And we kind of get labeled that way, those of us that have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But there is a great purpose in this baptism. There's a great meaning in it, and it's still very relevant for today, in today's church. Now, there's three sets of people in here this morning that I could probably categorize. The first set is, some of you have already been baptized in the Holy Ghost, so you know what I'm talking about. You speak with other tongues. You have an empowerment in your life that is just a little different maybe than someone else because of that baptism. The second set of people are those that will never want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's okay. Now understand, I'm only bringing this message because as a servant of God, I need to teach the whole word. And it's part of God's word. In no way am I trying to force or push anything on anyone that you don't desire. For one thing, just like salvation, God has to put it in your heart to want to receive this gift. So you can't make yourself want it anyway. God has to place that desire in your heart. The third set of people are the ones, and it's why I'm teaching it today, is God has put that hunger in some of you. That you want to go that next step, that you've heard about it, you've seen it in operation, don't know a whole lot about it, want to know more about it, that's why I'm teaching it, to bring into your understanding what really is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, to clarify, I think most of you know this about me, I've said it many times over the years, is I was baptized in the Holy Ghost as a young child. And I'll tell you my experience. We'll get to that in a minute. I got saved in revival. In a tent revival, gave my heart to Jesus, went to the altar, just like the church does today. Usually you go to the altar, give your heart to Jesus, surrender your life. That's what I did. At the end of the revival, they had a baptism for those who want to be baptized. And so I signed up. I want to be baptized. So I was. When I went in the water, came out of the water, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was on me. My lips were stammering, and I didn't understand. I was young, so I didn't understand what was happening to me, really. I just knew when I came out of that water, there was a different power of God on me than when I went to get saved. There was a difference. I was saved. I was born again. I was on my way to heaven. No problem with that. But God had another thing for me, an empowerment. And when I came out of the water, I felt such a feeling of almost euphoria. It was like no feeling you could describe. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost on my life. Now, I was young, so it took years for me to grow into that and learn how to operate in that, and I did. And the biggest strength that is to me is when I'm here at the church or in my prayer life, when I'm preparing for messages. I'll be over here and I'll just begin to pray, and I'll let the Lord take over and let the Spirit pray through me. It's a very powerful, real thing. Now, some say that it died with the apostles. Well, churches don't teach because that's what their theology is, but there's nowhere in Scripture that ever said it died with the apostles. If the Holy Ghost, if speaking in tongues died with the apostles, then so did miracles, so did healings, so did all the wonders of God, right? But they take that one thing out, says God doesn't move that way anymore. Well, that's not true. There's nowhere in Scripture that proves that it went away. It is a real empowerment from on high that gives us an extra boost in this earth. It has many purposes. We'll get more into that probably tonight because I want to get the basis of Scripture and talk about a couple things. Go to the next slide. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the infilling of the power of God in you. It is an impartation of His anointing upon you. Now, there's a difference. Understand, this baptism has nothing to do with you being more saved or less saved, more holy or less holy. It's just a gift God has offered believers. The only qualification to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to be born again. You must be saved. That's the only requirement. If you're born again, you are an applicant, so to speak, for this baptism. It is an infilling of God's power in you. Let me give you an example. Have you ever, for those of you that came up here, and I've laid my hands on you in prayer, and you feel that, there's something that you feel. What you're feeling is the power of the Holy Ghost because the power of the Holy Ghost is in me. And that's what you're feeling. You ever pray with someone you felt dry as dust? You just pray. They just prayed for you. You're like, yeah, sweet and nice, but I didn't feel nothing. The difference is a person that's been empowered with the Holy Ghost. You know who most folks want to hear preach on TV? The ones that speak in tongues. It's who most folks listen to. And you'd be surprised the ones that speak in tongues you may not know about, but they're empowered with the Holy Ghost. That's who we're drawn to because that's where the power's at. Not that they're more holy. There's just a different level of power. You know, I remember my good pastor friend, Tony Bunton, who passed away last year. Early in his life, he'd got caught up in witchcraft. A lot of you may not have known that. Got really involved in witchcraft. So he went to a revival service one night. Somebody kept bugging him to go to church, so he went. And understand, he was in witchcraft, practicing darkness. He goes into this church and sits in a pew. He told me this story many times, personally. He said, when I walked in that church and I saw that preacher's face, he said, I saw fire in his eyes. I knew I was in trouble. Why? He was a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, not a patty cake, let's have a good time, God. He knew he was in trouble. The preacher began to preach the Word of God, had an altar call. He says, I was in the back pew, and he says, I felt the Spirit of God so drawn, but I was fighting it so hard, I had my fingernails dug in the wood bench, and I actually carved marks in the back of the bench. The strength of that demon was so strong in my life. But he said, before I knew it, I was up at the altar. God had hit me, I fell flat on the floor, and just he knocked me on the ground. And when I came out, I was speaking in other tongues, and I knew God had set me free. Then he went on, of course, to be a pastor and a great, great minister of God. See, there's something different about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, there's boldness behind it, and there's power behind it, and there's authority behind it, because it's not you anymore. It's that Holy Ghost in you exercising that authority, producing that power. Next slide, Jeremy. We receive salvation through faith. And it is the same Spirit of God. Understand this. There's a lot of extreme teachings. There's some teachings that say that when you get saved, that's it. There's all there is to it. There's no other deeper places to go. Some teach that you can't be saved unless you have the Holy Ghost. But it is the same Spirit that saves you, the same Spirit that baptizes you. The Bible's clear on that. The same Spirit. It is the very same Spirit that brings you to salvation that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. It's not of the devil. Some people, it's of the devil. It ain't of the devil, man. Any of you has got that. No, it ain't the devil. It's a beautiful gift God gives to the believer for the empowerment of his life. There are so many times I am so distraught and so discouraged, and I begin to pray. Have you ever prayed a prayer and you left the altar feeling like, you know, did I say enough or did I get it all out or it kind of felt incomplete? You know why? You're praying from here, your head. You're trying to name off all the things you need. Lord, help my wife, you know, not be mean to me. Help my children be good. Help the church folks not growl at me when I preach on Sunday mornings. God, help the offering be good. Lord, keep my health. And let's see. Oh, bless my dog. And Lord, help mom and dad, keep them going strong. And help my grandma and help all the widows of the church. And we just kind of pray a general prayer, which nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we leave feeling a little bit, did I really connect? So what the Holy Spirit does is as we let go and let the Spirit begin to pray through us, it prays for things that bypasses our natural knowledge and our head and our thoughts. I heard one preacher say this, I said a few weeks ago, that when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect prayer. Perfect prayer. Because the Spirit praying, not you. Nothing's being missed. And so it's very important that we know one of the purposes of that gift is that we allow the Spirit to pray for things we don't know. Church, I'm going to tell you something. We are dealing with strongholds and demonic forces all in the air, all around us. We are dealing with demonic demons walking the earth. And we need to understand that as we have this gift, it makes us more aware of that. We're more sensitive to it. We see it more clearly. You know why some folks just don't get it? You know, you'll preach a word and it goes right over their head. They never hear it. When you have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're more sensitive to hear the Word of God and understand it. It connects. You get it. You just get it. You know, we had a lady last Sunday. She's here this morning. I won't point her out. She comes through the line and says, "Man, preacher, that message last Sunday when you started reading the scripture, so I felt the anointing immediately. I felt the Holy Ghost so strong." Said, "I was sitting here thinking, how can they not be shouting right now?" Well, I'm pretty sure this person probably had the baptism, so that's why. they can hear things. See, when you have this gift, you're more in tune with the anointing that's flowing. See, my mom can recognize, and I know Melanie can too. I'm just using them for an example, because they've told me. Mom's told me specifically. She can recognize when I shift from just preaching to prophetic word. And it's not that I say, "Okay, y'all, I'm going to start prophesying. So here we go." I'm just preaching, and it just shifts. And some of you may be able to recognize that when it shifts to a more prophetic word. It's not me anymore just preaching, but God's completely just took it over. See, that can't be done without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, church. That can't be done. That's what separates a Holy Ghost preacher from just a born-again preacher. There's a difference. Good preaching, good teaching, good truth. But I'm going to tell you something. When I have a need or I have a crisis, I've told you many times that that my grandma was the one I would go to. She's one of the first ones that I would trust to go to and say, "Lay your hands on me and pray for me." She might be mad at me. I might not have come over and ate her biscuits, and she's mad enough, but I know if I call her, she'll still pray for me. And she has laid hands on me and prayed for me. And you know what? Every time I felt the anointing of God flow through my body. Why do I pick grandma, I wonder? I mean, I love her and I know her, but yeah. Because she's filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's who I want praying for me. I don't want some preacher that says, "Well, I'll pray for you, but remember now, it's God's deal, and I'll pray." Man, really? That's the best you can got? Man, look at me and lay your hands on me and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak victory into your life. And let that authority flow." That's what I want. Pray with some power. And the reason people can't pray with that power, they've not been empowered with that power. And you can't. Now, for some of you, here's what I sensed in the Spirit as I was preparing this yesterday and Friday. That there are some of you that need a restoration of that baptism. You've got it, but you need a restoration of it. You need to be rejuvenated. You need a refreshing of it again. You need, because some of you haven't walked in that in so many years, you just have kind of put on the shelf. And God is saying, "It's still there. The sea's still there. I want to stir it back up again so you can begin to walk in it again." That's where the power is at. I mean, man, that is where, you know, I was sitting in my office last week, or 2 weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit, and once again, understand, being, we do receive the Holy Spirit at the new birth. I understand that. We do receive the Spirit of God at the new birth. We receive His Spirit to regenerate our lives and to bear fruit and to produce change. We do have that. But there's a deeper step that God has offered us if we desire that. And that's where the gifts begin to flow. And that's where we begin to serve and walk in those gifts of God. You know, I was sitting in my office 2 weeks ago, and the Lord, I was just reading, and the Lord spoke into my spirit a word for another minister, just that quick. And I just texted him exactly what God had said and sent it to him. And there's no doubt it was the Spirit of God that spoke that into my heart. You know where that gift comes from, that word, that revelation? It comes from the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because we're more sensitive to the things of God. I said this 2 weeks ago, and I didn't get no amens. Don't expect no amens today, and that's fine. But I said this 2 weeks ago. There are so many Christians that want enough of the glory of God not to feel guilty, but not enough to really walk in glory. And we hold it back. Now, I went to church, preacher. I heard the word. I even sang out loud, "Amazing Grace." And you didn't see me, preacher, but I even did this one time. I praise God. And I gave my offering. I'm a good, and I feel good. And we go to work on Monday. I went to church yesterday, and I raised my hand before the Lord. Okay? And I gave my offering and I sang out loud, Amazing Grace. But then when the Holy Ghost begins to really move, the devil begins to try to shut that off. Because he realizes, I mean, we ain't never had the problem we had this morning ever. This bad. Y'all know that. Not this bad. I mean, even the regular music, I mean, the soundboard went out. I mean, really? I got mad, so I hit it. That's when it came back on. That's when Melody said, just stop it. Because I hit it and it went back on. It's like, come back on. But the enemy was fighting that because he realized there's power behind that. There's power in someone that's been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Go to the next slide. We receive the indwelling Spirit of God at salvation, but there is a deeper manifestation through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Understand, not more holy, not more saved. Just a deeper walk with God. And that's my desire, is to have intimate fellowship with the Lord. And the way I have that is to take that next step and say, God, I want all you have for me in the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize me with this fire from heaven. Because it does something inside of me. The church has been so silent, and most denominations don't teach this, or they get very scared if they want to try to teach it, because people don't understand it, they don't hear it. Do you realize there are people in all denominations that have been baptized with this gift? All denominations that have been baptized in this gift. And there are people you work with, you probably don't realize, that speak in tongues. I've learned that in my journey out here. I'm like, you go to what church? You believe in speaking in tongues? Oh, yeah, I speak in tongues. The church don't believe in it, but I do. It's a lot more than you realize. You know why? People are hungry for something real. They're hungry for more. How many people do you know you would classify? Maybe you're here today, and you consider yourself a weak Christian. I'm just a weak Christian. Kind of weak. I love God, but I'm just weak. You know, I don't always do right. I don't live right. I'm weak. I don't have, you know, I have to come to church. You know, I'm weak. I love the Lord, Pastor. I believe in Him, but I'm weak. It's kind of like putting me in front of a pizza buffet and then saying, go get just salad. You know? I'm weak. Really? You show me this? You want me to go over here and get this? Really? You show me Great Village Inn thin crust pizza? And you show me the salad bar, that's all I can have? Really? Some of us are in the salad bar stage, and God wants to take us to a deeper place. I got some good stuff waiting on you. Some stuff is going to fill you up. You remember back when Slim Fast first came out? I tried it. As you can see, it didn't work. But I tried it. And I used to drink those things, because it said just drink one of these in the morning, one at lunch, the old Slim Fast in a can, chocolate or vanilla. I'm still starving. And I think it defeats the purpose when you drink a 12-pack at one time. So I just should have ate, right? But I would pop one, and I'd still be hungry. I'm like, really? I never was filled. It's supposed to fill me, but it didn't. Sometimes we're not filled spiritually. We wonder why. I'm saved, Lord, but I'm not filled. God, I'm saved, but there's something missing. I'm saved, but I'm just weak, and I feel powerless. The Holy Ghost, that baptism, when you receive that, it strengthens you, it fills you, and you receive power from God. Power. See, speaking, this has been a big myth too. Speaking in tongues is not, by definition, is not the Holy Ghost. It is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. There are many gifts from the Holy Ghost besides speaking in tongues. People just get hung up on that one. There is the gift of discernment. There is the gift of word of knowledge, the gift of revelation. There's an authority and a power that comes with you didn't have before. I mean, I'm going to tell you, y'all can tell when I preach and the turn-on button comes on where I start getting really bold. Church, that ain't me. Really? I want your money. That ain't me. What I mean is I don't make nobody mad. I want you to give, so that ain't me saying, hey, when I get bold. It is the Holy Ghost that rises up, that causes that boldness. It's that Holy Ghost that there's a strength and a power behind it. And it's more for your personal walk with God to empower you, that when there's nowhere to turn, you just pray in the Spirit of God and then know that you've left and God has heard it and things are going to be different. It gives you release. gives you a cleansing that's just is so incredible. Get the next verse. We're getting to scripture now. Look at verse. This is Luke 24:49. This is when Jesus was still on the earth. He hasn't died yet. And this is what he says. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now understand, he's talking to his disciples. His disciples, church, were already followers of him. So for those that say this was the born-again experience, it's not. They were already followers of Jesus. They were his disciples. He says, wait on me, because I've got something to give you. I've got a power to give you. I've got something on high to give you. Nothing to do with salvation. They were his children already. But he said, I've got something waiting on you that's going to bless you and enable you to serve in ministry. And that's what it's for, church, to serve in ministry and to serve each other. You know, and I want to encourage this. And I appreciate Sam obeying to break out and do what God told him to do. It's very commendable that he obeyed and wasn't worried about what anybody thought. Because we don't worry about what anybody else thinks anywhere else except at church. We'll show our hind ends in Walmart all we want to a poor little cashier. That price said $4.22. What do you mean $4.19? I mean, or whatever. I got it backwards. That's the drunk ones that do that. Four, that says. And we'll fuss and we'll just say, y'all are a ripoff. I'm going back to Food Line. Poor little cashier just sitting there going, okay, I'm making $8 an hour. Are you kidding me? All right, really? And just get yelled at. And we don't care who sees us. We'll jerk our kid by the head and knock his head off in public. Come here, you. Get up in this buggy. Shut your mouth. I'm going to whoop your blah, 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 blah. All out in public. And we come to church, we act all proper and reserved. Mr. Brown, good to see you, sir. Little Von Seal, you're so cute today. Friday, we was beating our kids half-naked in Walmart. And then Sunday, we're saying, you look cute, Von Seal. We don't care nowhere else. We go to ball games, race. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've been to several ball games live. It's crazy. And I like the atmosphere. I enjoy it. I'm in there with them. I mean, I don't paint myself up and strip off my shirt and stuff, but I do get into it, and I like it, and I yell, and I holler, come on, ref, call it both ways. We all do that. People dancing and dressed up in costumes and got signs, you know, in A-Rod we trust. Are you kidding me? I mean, really? How about God we trust? That'd be a little more proper, wouldn't it? So we don't care anywhere else we go how we act. Except church. Because it's been taught we don't act that way. You know, just to remind you, in case you don't know, it's in the scripture, all through scriptures, to make a joyful noise before the Lord, to clap your hands, to lift your hands before the Lord in the sanctuary, to come into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, to sing a new song, to praise him in the dance. All of that is in the word. But we sure don't see a lot of that in the church anymore because man just didn't want it there. I don't want that there. I don't like people, you know. I don't like people running around the church, man. That distracts me, man. I don't like that. It bothers me. But it's the Word of God. It's Scripture. Anywhere else, we don't care. We'll dance, like Melanie said, at the bars on Saturday night or wherever we go. We'll dance. We'll dance. People don't even know. We'll dance. Hey, man, you look hot. You want to dance? Sure. We'll dance. We'll make a fool of ourselves by other people. In front of God, we're reserved. Why? It's not been taught that it's okay to praise the Lord. And part of what the baptism does, it releases you to be more free to worship and to honor God and to serve God in the way he called you to serve. You know, there are people that spoke words into my life that they could not have known no other way but through the Holy Spirit. They come to me and they said something. They couldn't have known. Nobody knew. Who do those words come from? People have been baptized with the Holy Ghost because they were in tune. It tunes you up. You're just more in tune with what's going on. So there's a promise coming of endowment of power. Next verse. For John truly shall baptize you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is a promise that the Holy Spirit was going to baptize them. In other words, they'd already been baptized unto repentance, church. They'd already been baptized unto repentance. This is a different baptism. A baptism of His power in their lives to establish the new church and to begin the works of God. And it never says anywhere else that ever changed or ended. Next verse. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Go ahead, Jeremy. And He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. How many Christians do we see don't have any power? How many Christians do we see don't even live different in the world? They're just kind of blended in. They don't stick out, don't stand out. They're just living like everybody else. When the Holy Ghost comes, there's power. There's power. Power. We had a family a while back, been a good long time ago, that came and was raised in a Baptist church, and we had a service where the Lord moved in a kind of a different way, and people were touched, and people were speaking in tongues, and a few people fell on the floor, and, you know, didn't understand all that. And they talked to me. Says, you know, I wasn't raised that way. I've never been around that. Don't understand it. But says, you know, I can't doubt it because it is in the Scripture. It is scriptural what happened. And here's what really got me. He said, there was such a power in that service I couldn't deny. There was a power there. It's like I could just feel it in the atmosphere, this power. That is the power of our living God that makes Himself manifest in our lives. There's a power that comes. And it's that power that sets you free. It's that power that breaks strongholds. It's that power that breaks addiction. It's that power that looses those things that have you bound. It's once again walking in that power. We can't do it on our own, church. There's some things we need some power in our lives to be able to set us free and to break those ties forever. And God is able to do that through that Holy Spirit. But it's a gift that we have to desire. And God will not force on anyone. It's just a gift that God has made available to those that want it. Next verse. Of the earth. Okay, next verse. Now, as I read this, Jeremy, just go with me all the way to verse 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now understand, I'm not one of these. There's some people that teach, and I'm don't believe this. I just don't believe this. There's some teach, in fact, I saw a preacher on TV the other day that was doing this. I just don't agree with that. That you can just turn it on and off at will. That's not what the Bible says. The Spirit has to give you utterance. The Spirit has to come from within and begin to come out of your mouth before you can really begin to pray in any kind of heavenly language. It's not something you turn on and off. It must rise up within. Notice the verse 3. Go back to... Well, never mind. I won't mess it up. That's okay. Verse 3 says that cloven tongues of fire, and one of those cloven tongues sat on each one. Which means each person in that room had an individual experience with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just one thing that kind of got them all. Each one sat upon them. Joe Brown got it. Von Seal got it. Linda got it. Barbara got it. It fell upon each, every one of them to produce in their lives this power. And they were in this one place. Now, a lot of churches teach this was the Spirit of God coming back to live inside a man. Of course it is. I believe that and preach that. It is. Absolutely it is. But it was more than that. Because remember, all these 120 were already believers. They already were followers of Jesus. This wasn't a salvation moment. This was an empowerment moment. This was a moment that that gave them something they needed to go out there and carry out the kingdom. Peter came out, if you remember, if you read that chapter, most of you have, they called Peter drunk. Peter, these men are drunk. Y'all are acting like drunk men, all this. What's going on? He said, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is what was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams. This is what was spoken would happen. We're not drunk. We've been empowered with something bigger than us. We're getting out of the way and letting him be the way in our lives. It's a power that he offers us that if we want it. Not all receive it. Not all have it. Some don't want it. Some have no desire for it. And that is fine. It doesn't bother me. You know, we probably have in this church, I don't know, a dozen, 15 people has been baptized by the Holy Ghost that I know of in this church. Maybe more, but that I know of. Doesn't bother me. Not forcing nobody. Not up to me. I just want to offer to you as the Word of God that if it's something you desire, it's available. And it'll change your life. It'll change my life. I will tell you this. I would not be the preacher I am without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't be that preacher. You know, what I love when I pray for people is I got my hands on their head and pray. This is something that God just, it's something he's given me. And I'm thankful for it. As I'm praying, I can feel now his presence. It always starts in my lower part of my body. Always. As I'm praying for someone, I can feel it rising up through me, almost like chills or goosebumps rising up on a body. And I feel it coming out. And I always know when the person's going to receive it because it comes right out here. And when I feel it come out my hand, all the way to the tips of my fingers, I can feel it. It's like this electricity. And when it comes here, I know, boom, there it is. And every time, there it is. That is the Holy Ghost. That's not just a Christian prayer. That is the power of prayer in the Holy Ghost is what is happening. And that's where real healing and real deliverance and real change comes. Go to the next verse. Now, I kind of jumped into this because for time's sake, but this is Acts 2, verse 37. It says, I just kind of picked up. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is after Peter gave his sermon. And said, and Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So see right here, repent. That's your salvation. That's your forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent of your sins, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The only requirement to receive this baptism is to be born again. You must be saved. Next one, Jeremy. For this promise is to you, now here, see, it don't end. This promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God has to call. God has to put it in your heart and draw you to that gift. He has to put that desire to say, Lord, I want it. I don't understand all of it, but man, I want it. And this gift, as we see, is to all who call afar off. It never stopped. It's to every generation. Next scripture. Here's a big question a lot of people have. Is salvation and baptism of the Holy Ghost two different things? Big question. Next slide. Yes, it is. We are saved by faith in Christ alone. And we receive his Spirit and salvation. But there is another baptism, if we so desire, that God has for us, that gives us that supernatural power to live and to walk. Some extreme teachings teach that, especially in the Pentecostal movements, they teach that a person is not truly born again until they speak in tongues. And that is not true at all. That is not scripture, never has been, never will be. Not scripture. Does it make you any more saved to speak in tongues or any less saved not to? You are saved through Christ alone. By faith. Remember, Grandma has told her story before about she got saved in a Baptist church. It was real. She knew she gave her heart to Jesus and knew it was real. But then down the road, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in her life. She was saved already. Knew Jesus, been born again. But it's like, she says, something was missing. I wanted something more. I just felt like I needed something a little more. And then she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost to just fill her on up. That's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful. They are two separate experiences. You get born again, and then if it's your desire to say, Lord, I want more, I want something deeper, then all you have to do is yield yourself to Him. Here I am, God. Pour upon me your anointing and fill me with this baptism of the Holy Ghost so that I can be empowered to live a life of victory, a Christian life of victory. Next verse, next slide. This is Acts 6 and 2. This is an example. Now we're getting to example of the difference in salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And look at this verse. Oh, but we will continually give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Then the next verse. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Now look how this is worded. A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He had faith. He was a believer. But he was also filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Peter made it clear, pick 7 men that have been baptized with this. They're going to need it to carry out the ministry. Now, a lot of people teach it died in the apostles' age because that's what it was for, to carry out the ministry and to establish the new church. But that is not scripture, and there's nowhere that says that it ever ended. It is a gift to all who call upon the Lord, and for 2,000 years, people have been receiving this gift. All over the world, receiving this gift. I thank God I have the gift, church. It's changed my life. I know it's your story, baby. You have to share your story or no? Is that okay? A few years ago, what year was that? Do you know when that was? 02, 03, 04, right in there. Melanie had had a desire to have this gift of baptism. And, of course, Melanie was saved, born again. But just started having a desire to want to be able to, you know, pray in tongues and have that gift from God. And so Melanie is at home. I'm still working at Walmart then, yeah. 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 So I was at Walmart still working then. I worked late that night. Didn't know anything was going on. Come in the door. Melanie's so excited. She's down in the basement. She's hollering, James, James, James. Says, I got the Holy Ghost. I said, what? And she started speaking in tongues right there in the basement. I'm like, wow. I said, what happened? Did I miss something here? Was there a revival happening? I was at work. What happened? She says, no, I'm just down here cleaning the basement. I'm down here, which I appreciate that. I was down here cleaning the basement, and she was just praising the Lord and meditating and just thanking God for it and just, you know, getting her mind on things of God. And as she's by herself in the basement, the Holy Ghost falls upon her. She begins to speak with other tongues, and it flows. And I'm hearing that. I'm at the top of the stairs, and she's just talking, and it's just flowing, and it's just flowing. And I'm like, good gracious. And that's how she received her gift. So each one of us can receive it in different ways. It doesn't have to be some supernatural encounter at the altar. It's simply God. Feel me. You could be driving in your car. Just be careful. Keep your eyes open. God, feel me, Holy Ghost. And He will. And so, you know, me and Melly both have been baptized with that gift. It's a wonderful gift, and it changes our lives. Because when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit does. People make fun of the Holy Ghost. I know they do, church. They make fun of it. We've had people leave because of it, and that's okay. You know, they're going to leave over something else anyway. If it ain't that, it's going to be something else they're going to leave for. It's going to be something. I mean, it's going to be the kids, or it's going to be the offering. It's going to be, I dress too nice, we drive too nice a car. I'm too young, too bald, too old, too whatever. It's going to be something. Joe Brown didn't speak to me. Grandma shouted. You know, I mean, something's going to happen. So I don't care. People's going to make fun of it. And the reason they make fun of it, they've never been taught it. Because there's two extreme teachings. There's the extreme teaching that it doesn't exist at all. Not in the church anymore. That was for then. We don't do that now. Okay? Then there's the teaching where you walk into a church and they're going off chandeliers. and the whole church is talking in tongues, and nothing's being interpreted, and nothing's happening, and no words being prophesied, and so a person walks in like, my God, I'm in a circus. What in the world's going on? And so a lot of the more extreme teachings has took it and abused it, so that when a visitor walks into a church for help, they don't get any. They just look like a deer, and oh my gosh, what am I in? Instead of someone teaching what it means. Throughout the years, I've done my best to always try to teach and explain when something happens what's going on, and explain the order of how things are. There is an order to things, church. There's an order to the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to get into that a little bit tonight. There's a specific order for the Holy Spirit. It's not just chaotic. I feel the Spirit. I'm just going to do it. And then I feel the Spirit. There is an order God has that it all edifies the church. And so I want to be clear of that. So the two extreme teachings is we don't do it no more. But we're going to read here. We already have read. It is very scriptural. All right. We got to hurry. Go to the next one. Because I want to get through this last section. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. All right. Now we're going to read this too all the way through, Jeremy. This is Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Now, this is probably one of the most significant confirmations of the baptism of the Holy Ghost after salvation, not at the same as salvation. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now, he practiced witchcraft. And they heeded him. They looked to him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Now here's where it gets good. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard, now look at this, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they'd received it. They had believed the word of God already. They had accepted Jesus. They sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that might receive the Holy Spirit. Stop right there a minute. Now, they already heard the word. They had believed the word. So then what's this Holy Spirit thing talking about? Next one. For as yet, he, talking about the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's pretty clear confirmation, church, that they were already believers. They had been baptized into Christ. But that Philip and John were going to come and pray the Holy Ghost come upon them to empower them, that they to pray for that other baptism of the Holy Spirit to give them what they needed. Next verse. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Great example, clearly taught, I think, in the Word of God, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost experience after salvation. They already heard the Word. They believe the word. I understand this message is for anyone. God stirred my heart. I was really restless last night, all night. It's had a hard night. Restless because I know this message stirs up a lot of thought. And I know it can stir up a lot of disagreement. But so does a lot of things I preach. So what the heck? Let's just preach it. It is part of God's word. And as a minister, I'm not doing God's job or not doing what I'm supposed to be doing for God if I don't declare his whole word. And so I just want the church to know this gift is available as a baptism into your life. That speaking in tongues is not of the devil. It is not passed away. It is still very real and still very relevant and will impact and change your personal life. I'll never forget coming out of that water when I was a child in baptism and the Holy Ghost was on my lips. There was a feeling that just church, I really believe that is so what kept me through my teenage years. More than just, I was saved, yes. But I just had that extra boost that when all them women were throwing themselves at me and just begging me to go back to their place. I just had to refuse. And I had to say, no. Something would rise up in me and just stop me. When people would invite me to parties, I wanted to party, man. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool and normal. You know, I mean, my Lord, I had a red fiber with tinted windows and mag wheels and a boombox, and I was based in MC Hammer. Man, I was real. I was normal. Can't touch it. Dun, dun, dun. You know, I was normal. I mean, I wanted to be normal. Had the little hair waving in the wind, T-tops out, hollering at girls. Every girl, it didn't matter. It didn't really matter how they looked. You're 16, it don't matter how they look, really. You just, female. Woo, 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 female. Female, 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 female. Woo, hey, hottie. Oh, well, still pretty good. Hey, hottie. It just don't matter. At that age, it just don't matter. So I wanted to be normal. And I was pretty normal. But I couldn't do certain things other kids could do. And I know it was the Holy Spirit in me that would always pull me back and stop me. And I look back and thank God for that, church. We make some really bad mistakes in our youth sometimes, don't we? And then we pay for them for a long time. And God, I said I didn't make no mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. But God kept me from a lot of life-changing mistakes that could have altered my life pattern. And I thank God for that. So I want to just encourage you with this. We're going to go into part two tonight and talk about what it produced in our lives and really the purpose of it and what Paul's about in Corinthians. Because it's one of the most mistaught or not taught topics of the Bible. Because people are just afraid to touch it. Church, I'm not afraid to touch it because God's got some of you ready for this. He's got some of you hungry for this next step. And when you get this next step, it'll just change your walk with God. That's all. Don't make you no more saved. You don't go around judging people. You don't go to Walmart on Monday getting groceries and say, I got the Holy Ghost at church. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you speak in tongues? Well, I speak in tongues. You don't speak in tongues? I'll praise the Lord. I'll pray right now. I mean, you can't do that. You'll have be calling management on you. Walkie-talkie, come take his idiot off aisle three, will you? But I'm going to tell you something. When you do have it, people recognize it. And they know it. I want to share, because it really touched my heart. Darlene's here. I want to share, and it's not for my kudos. It's just to point out what I've been talking about. What the doctor said when I prayed for you that, when I came to pray for you, and what you told me the doctor said about my prayer. Remember that, Darlene, about when I left and the prayer? Is that okay? I share that? Because it goes along with what I'm saying. It really touched me. And I'm glad you shared it because it so encouraged me. Because I know y'all don't know this, but I just want to clarify something. Us preachers don't get a whole lot of encouragement from the congregation normally. We really don't. Because we only work one day a week, you know. And so I guess y'all are bitter about that. But we don't get a whole lot of encouragement. And so it's nice when someone calls with an encouraging word. I went to pray with Mr. Williams. He had some surgery about 2 weeks ago now, I guess. And I went one morning after I dropped Jamie off from school. I went to the hospital and went in the room. And they were getting ready to take him out. And they said, we'll be back in a minute. So I went in and prayed with him. Didn't know there was a couple of doctors standing at the door listening. So I lay and I pray. And, you know, I felt the Lord in that prayer and felt peace in that prayer. And Darlene said that the doctor said when I left, said, that was really a good prayer. That's a real man of God. There's something. He's different, or he's a real man of God, or I can really tell by that prayer. And that really encouraged me. Because I don't hear a lot of that. And to know that these two doctors heard the prayer and were blessed by that. It's not because of me, church. But I'm going to tell you, there's a difference. When you've been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a different dynamic in the atmosphere. I'm just telling you. When you walk into a room, they feel something they didn't feel before. When you lay your hands on them, they feel something you didn't feel before. When they look in your eyes, they see something they didn't see before. There's a difference. It's a wonderful gift. All don't want it. All don't desire it. And it doesn't matter to me either way. It's not something we ever push here at the church. I just want to teach it from time to time to let you know it's Scripture and it's available. And plant the seed like everything else and let God give the increase. Because some of you will go back and read these verses. You will meditate on this. Some of you will try to argue it out that it's not the Word of God. But I've shown you Scripture to where it is. Not my theology, not even my past teaching. It's the Word of God. Because I want to teach this with clarity and with truth. There's many gifts besides tongues from the Holy Ghost. That's just one of the gifts. There's many other gifts that come from that. Just the one we see the most, the one that usually demonstrates itself the most that we see and hear. But it's a wonderful thing. So don't think it's the devil. It's not. Don't think it's false. It's not. Not the real Holy Ghost. Are there gimmicks out there? Sure. Can the devil mimic that? Absolutely. But your spirit will bear witness when it's real, when you'll know in here. You will know. There's times, church, that I've been up here preaching. And I was 11:20. That clock says 10:20. I was like, I'm doing good. There's times I've been up here preaching that I have felt the Holy Ghost almost come out during my preaching, and I had to catch myself. It wasn't that I was quenching. It's just that I had to keep preaching. I wanted you to hear what I was saying. But it was so powerful that I could almost feel my word begin to change as I'm preaching. And I have to, it's a beautiful thing. And I want everybody to experience it because it'll change your life. But if you don't, it's no sweat. I'll still see you in heaven. Everything's good. We're cool. Just want to offer the gift. And there's some that'll never have it and never want it. God's got to put that in your heart. And I love it. And I'm thankful for it. We'll continue this message tonight. And so I probably shouldn't have said that. Why nobody come? We're going to continue this message tonight for those that want to hear more about it and go in a little bit more depth. And then anybody wants prayer tonight, we're going to pray for you tonight. We'll pray for restoration if you want that gift restored again or just want it brought back to life, been kind of laying dormant. Or if you have a desire for that and really want to be baptized, we'll go pray that tonight. But I want to give you a chance to digest this morning, digest the Word of God, let God speak to your heart. And understand that if you come out tonight, I'm not going to pray for everybody tonight, just the ones that won't be prayed for. So I ain't going to be jumping the seats and throwing you on the floor. I'll make that very clear. If you don't come, no big deal. Just want to offer it like I do anything else, salvation or prayer for healing, whatever. So but be praying about it and let God speak to your heart. He put it on my heart, and I was really restless. I mean, I tossed and turned all night last night. And then this morning, it just really bothered me. And then I knew I was on the right track with all that stuff this morning. And thank y'all for participating. Thank y'all for loving us, just singing along and laughing and not being ill about it. And, you know, don't go to lunch and run to the preacher at the big First Baptist Church and tell them what a joke it was this morning. And the music wouldn't even play. And I bet you had a good service. Don't do those things. Thank you for going with the flow. We're going to get this problem fixed. I think I know what the problem is with that system jamming up. I think I know what that is. So we're going to get that fixed, and that won't be a problem again. And the soundboard must have a short in it. That's happened a couple of times. I'm going to get Randy to look at that and get that fixed. We can't have that going on. But, man, I'm telling you, it was awful this morning. I mean, that just was, gosh, y'all kept singing. Thank you, y'all, for just keep singing and keeping it going, and thank you for that. We have a star in the house today. Do you know that? Besides my daughter. But just see Chris's video? Isn't that cool? Nobody sent her video? You saw an article in the paper? Yep. Yeah, Christian got to a Hunter Hayes video, full screenshot. You see our cat in the background in our house. So we're excited about that. But anyway, I'm proud of Christian. But what I was going to say, we have another star in the house today. Actually, two stars I want to point out. They are stars that have been gone for a while, but for some reason they have fallen back into the sky today. And that star, one's a big star, not big star, taller star, and one's a smaller star. One star starts with a J, and one star starts with an I. So, would y'all stand up for me? This is Julie. Stand up. Julie and Ivy. So good to see y'all. They were with us for a very long time and have not been with us in a very long time. And we're just surprised to see y'all pop in today. It's so nice. And so that's why I see Ivy on Facebook all the time. I was hanging out with her besties. Yeah, hanging out with Sheraton and hanging out with Kennedy and yeah, all that all the time. So I see all that all the time. So you. They mean a lot to you, don't they? Yes. They have been here in a while. Isn't that great? You came to church without your mom on your own with a teenager. That is wonderful. Yeah, I will. I'll get her. Yeah, I'll get her. That's wonderful. So glad y'all came this morning. Thanks for not forgetting the time, and most of you were here on time. The last 2 years, our crowd's been off about 15% because of the time change. A little off today, but not bad as I thought it'd be. Huh? Yeah, last year Mandy was late. Yeah. Lives right next door. She made it on time, so thank you. But anyway, I'm excited. Y'all come back tonight and hear more about this. It's good stuff, and I'm excited to share it. It'll change your personal walk with the Lord. Ushers, can you come up at this time? Give you a chance to give your offering or your building fund or your tithes, whatever you have to give to God today. We're going to have our mortgage burning service ceremony on March 24th. Not next Sunday, but the next Sunday. And we're going to send out letters to our partners and friends. So make sure you're here for that special time. We're going to burn the mortgage and celebrate that. We are so excited. And I'm telling everybody in the world I know about it. And y'all should be too. You should be proud to say your church got paid off in 7 years. That is incredible. And that's all glory to God. So phase two will be on the way. When that is, don't know yet. We'll have to see where God takes that and direction he gives me and how the finance continues to flow in to be able to do that. But we are very excited about phase two. We need the space. We have an event coming up in May that if we had a fellowship hall, we could accommodate, and we can't. We got somebody needing a building rentable for a wedding reception. So if you know anything, let Melanie know. But we are looking forward to getting that next phase done and getting a fellowship hall. We have space to meet and do things and have dinners, and we have funerals or weddings, everything be done here. So but we need your continued support, so please continue to do that. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has not passed away, God. It is still relevant. It is still here. We can still be endued with that power on high. You can still fall upon your people, God, and empower us to walk in deeper things of the Spirit. I pray the hearts hear the word today, that they actually hear it, Lord. I try to teach it with truth and your word backing it. I pray hearts hear this word and understand that it is a gift that can be available to them if they desire it. I just pray, Lord, that they hear it clearly and hear what was said today, and they understand it as being truth. Thank you. Bless this offering and bless this seed and bless every hand that sows in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.